This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Can you believe there are 14 SEC teams in the NCAA tournament? The selection committee tried to keep as many separated as possible, and as a result, there are just three opportunities that they will play each other in the second round. As a result, how many SEC teams will you have in your Final Four?
You know, I was first thinking about this question, about the number of them and how many of them, how good they are, I was contemplating of the top five teams. I think there are five that have a shot at the Final Four. And I thought Florida was probably third, and they were going to be my the team I would take. And I would probably take Auburn. Auburn now has given me reason to kind of reconsider that. But I was debating whether it was three or two. So I'm probably going to have two in my Final Four, but that is not certain yet because we have plenty of time. There's no need to rush it. But I am definitely – David's finished, so it's got to be – we got to have him in today. But I love the way you earnestly held that up. But, oh, Dustin, you two are done. I like to take every minute. I like to get latest injury reports.
I'm just going because the question, we're on the clock already. The first question of the pick six was, how many do you have in your Final Four?
I'll have two.
I was panicking.
I'll have two. I think it's because there are so many, and they've made a conscious effort to kind of separate them. And it's almost like they put together the bracket with those teams in mind. So I'll go with two.
So if there
It'll be a disappointment, Dustin, if there aren't two. Sorry, go ahead.
If there are a bunch of chesty SEC fans out there, and while that is a very impressive number, 14, let's keep in mind, this is also an expanded SEC. It's an expanded big – this is the first year during the tournament part, NCAA tournament part, that the SEC has had this many teams in the SEC. Okay, so I'm sure somebody could do some math.
Yeah, ditto the Big Ten, but we've seen more Big Ten teams.
Why y'all complain about that?
Why am I complaining?
Yeah, why
no,
y'all complaining?
I'm complaining about like chesty SEC fans. No, that's what I'm complaining about.
That's what I was trying to be there. Sorry.
Yeah. I also, like Mike Mulligan, have two SEC teams in my Final Four.
All right.
You could make the argument, and it wouldn't be that outrageous, that there could be an all-SEC Final Four. You could look at Auburn and Florida and Tennessee and Bama, and you would have the SEC Invitational as your Final Four. I don't have that, but I think you could definitely argue that because it wouldn't be that outrageous. I have one. Uno. I have one. Almost as a reaction and overreaction, I'm sure, to the SEC expanding and then invading the NCAA tournament like no conference ever has before. I was only happy about one SEC team making the field, and that would be Oklahoma because of Porter Moser. Welcome back to the tournament, Porter. I hope that you beat Danny Hurley by 20 points so he can cry all during his post-game press conference about how he was outcoached, how Porter Moser outcoached the best blanking coach in America. That was my only SEC positive reaction yesterday. The rest of them don't really follow or want to acknowledge the fact that they are dominating this tournament, but they will dominate this tournament. I'm still going to go with one in the Final Four.
Is it
and
Oklahoma?
I remember the question was...
Did I hear you right?
That's a tease.
That was the voice of Mike DeCourcy. He'll be here at 8:25 this morning to help break it all down. Did the Big Ten get enough love from the NCAA Selection Committee? Can you believe Indiana didn't make the cut? How about every single team in the conference getting more quad one wins than North Carolina that somehow made the cut with only one?
It's a good question. That's a really good question because Indiana... It was as if my initial reaction was like, boy, the tournament ignored the Big Ten. The committee ignored the Big Ten tournament except for Indiana. They saw the way they went out and like, well, they don't belong. They're not going to get in this tournament. I think they might have been one of the first or second teams out. But in fairness, removing my Hoosier native bias, I do think that West Virginia has a much, much more.
That was a more slighted team.
Definitely, yeah. Much more to complain about than Indiana. Indiana probably got what it deserved. They did have an underachieving season. They're moving on from Mike Woodson. That's still a very good job. We can bait that later. We have. But I think that my reaction was that they belonged, but then I look at West Virginia getting snubbed and think they had a better claim to stake to that. So I think you definitely look at that. And the Big Ten get enough love from the selection committee. Michigan got hosed. And I think Illinois probably feels pretty good about it. But overall, Michigan State has pretty good, I think they've got a pretty good bracket there. They're the two seed and losing in the tournament the way they did. So I think that was appropriate. But overall, I think that they didn't have as much to complain about in terms of teams being omitted from the field as maybe some other teams like West Virginia did.
Well, and you can't tell me that Bubba, being the head of the selection committee, the AD at North Carolina, whether he's allowed in the room when they're taught, but he's still in the room.
Yeah.
He's also in charge, right? So there had to be, there's also that little aspect of it. They did say that if there would have been an upset in the Memphis-UAB game, so UAB would have gone in and that North Carolina would have been kicked out. Now, the other debate is, okay, are we spending too much time talking about the 35th best team in this tournament, perhaps? Okay, but because of injuries and the way they see to this, and David, you predicted this, I believe, in the first segment, if I have it right, I've not gotten a look at your bracket, but I think you said that North Carolina was going to beat Ole Miss. Didn't you say that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And then Iowa State comes in to this tournament with their best player not playing in the tournament. So they could be another. But I'm saying West Virginia,
yes,
Indiana. So I'm saying West Virginia, Indiana could have that same beef. Now, what would happen to solve all of this? There will be so many fans of San Diego State to go ahead and beat North Carolina, but I feel the same way. Like, if North Carolina does somehow get in there, I mean, North Carolina's still got good kids. You know, the ACC overall had a down year this year. So it could be much to do about nothing, but because of these injuries and because of where they got seated, I think there's a little bit more of a spotlight on it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I got to be honest about all this. This is a fascinating kind of a question and a fun detail to all this stuff. But I do think that, you know, you do look at Bubba being involved. You do wonder who did get slighted the most. I'm not against feeling kind of peeved with the selection committee. And I think that... I don't know. I don't know that the Big Ten got enough love, frankly. And I think Indiana probably should have gotten in. And I think that, you know, when you're taking 14 teams, it's the first year that the Big Ten's been expanded too, right? So can't we take that into account a little bit? I, How many teams were we told from the Illini coach needed to be in 10? Didn't he say 10?
I think he might have said double digits, maybe even more than that.
So, they kind of got slighted a little. Fair enough.
Pick six.
Do you like Illinois getting in as a six seed in the Midwest, even if they have to wait the winner of the first four matchup between Texas and Xavier? What does it say to you that it's their fifth straight NCAA bid after waiting since 2013? Can they match or better last year's Elite Eight run?
I think it tells you the program's in really good shape. It tells you that he's doing a really good job. And it tells you that the committee is taking that into account. When they don't look and say, oh, they got eliminated, you know, let's lower their seed. That's a solid seed for a team that could have been punished if you were in so choosing to. But I think the fact that it's been 5 years running and they were an Elite Eight team plays in their favor. That sort of thing should be taken into account.
It definitely means the program's in good shape. They're in good hands. I think Brad Underwood does a very nice job with this team. They're just really hard to figure out. I thought the game against Maryland, who I like quite a bit, would have been much more competitive. I was surprised it got as lopsided as it did the other night. So they get to go. They're playing in Milwaukee. And I like the fact that it's, I guess, the 8:45 game on Friday night as opposed to the 8:45 game on Thursday night. I'm just saying, for our purposes, right? Okay. It's better that they're playing on Friday night versus Thursday night.
But spring in action?
No, I actually am going to a daddy-daughter dance on Friday.
That's good.
But maybe I'll make it to the spring game before they close. But then, if you are able to win, and I don't understand the, I see it on both sides, and maybe someone can ask Mike DeCourcy or you guys can educate me. I don't understand why the sixth seed gets the winner of the play-in game. I don't understand how that works or how they figured that out. I need an explanation of that. Because Texas is a good team. That's a good team.
That's a good question because I don't know how they determine those because they certainly aren't the last teams in.
Right. I just feel like if it made sense, like those teams should be playing all the number one seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They already played a game. They got worn out. Right. If this counts as the tournament, or automatic bids go to this, or is that not the case? I have to look into that a little bit more. Mike DeCourcy, 825, can explain that. But then you're in Milwaukee. You could go to Indianapolis. But again, look at their bracket. It's a really tough region.
Kentucky's going to be tough.
Right? I mean, so it's like, boy, okay, you get Texas maybe, and then what after that? So at least they're playing in Milwaukee, so it's kind of a homish game.
Yeah, it's close enough where Illinois fans can get to if they so choose. And they should get there for the first-round game because I just don't feel good about the second-round game because they're matched up against Kentucky if both those teams win. But the winner of Texas Xavier isn't going to be easy either. It will be Friday night. One of the favorite players to watch in this tournament, hopefully Illinois plays long enough that people can appreciate him, but Kasparas Jakaciūnas. It's Jakaciūnas, I believe. He's from Lithuania. He is a do-everything guard. He really plays all over the place, but he's a guard and he is a shooter and his basketball IQ is off the charts and he is a potential. I think Bulls fans might want to watch him very closely because if a certain president of basketball operations is still leaning toward Lithuanian born players during the draft, Jakaciūnas could be somebody to keep an eye on. They play the way that all Brad Underwood teams play, hard. And they'll defend and guard, and they'll do the things. What's most impressive to me about this Illinois group, as we kind of have sort of paid attention to them throughout the winter and the season, this is a whole new team than the one that went to the Elite Eight. And Brad Underwood minds the transfer portal as well as any coach in America, and that's what this says to me. The committee appreciates that. And the consistency is there because the coach hasn't changed even as the roster turns over.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Boy, that's a good question.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer, Cubs radio analyst. He'll be sitting in between you guys at 9:25 this morning in studio. What have your impressions of the Cubs in Tokyo been, where they played Go Cubs Go inside the Tokyo Dome after the Cubs victory Sunday? Is there a viral moment on or off the field that stands out? How about the news breaking overnight that Mookie Betts will be not playing, ruled out the starting shortstop with illness?
That's really something. If you're a Dodger fan, if you're a baseball fan, 15 pounds he's lost, that's more than just getting some bad sushi. That's something that probably is a virus that you don't...
I don't think there's any bad sushi in Japan. Oh,
okay, I'm just saying. You wonder, I mean, how does he get sick? Is it food poisoning or whatever? It's a bad development if you're a Dodgers fan. This Cub weekend was outstanding to watch. There was an intensity to these games because the crowd gets into it, and every bat, you're like, these are spring training games? It felt like October watching. And you watch the way that they were engaging the dugout. This wasn't your typical afternoon at Sloan Park in Mesa. This was something where you wonder what effect that will have on the readiness for the game tomorrow or the season itself. But this would be something you're going to have to recover from, because there is definitely... It's out of the ordinary, and it's earlier than expected. Viral moments, the Marquee Sports Network has done a terrific job of capturing all of the things off of the field, away from the ballpark. Taylor McGregor has like become this social media influencer in the last week just because of the way that she has been out in front of some of these fun things that they've been doing. Baseball-wise, Matthew Boyd, if he can stay healthy, is going to be an asset.
Yeah, Matthew Boyd had a nice afternoon. Also had a spectacular play in the field by Dansby Swanson that they showed from this really cool camera angle that I've never seen before.
Avatar.
Just really, really cool. And then Matt Shaw, you know, getting a big hit, driving in a pair of runs in the 4-2 win. The fact that they played Go Cubs Go, they were chanting, the fans there were chanting PCA's name.
Yes.
The place was packed.
That was
cool.
Felt
like playoff baseball, right? Now, I'm not a big, huge fan of like indoor dome stadium baseball games. It's not really my jam. But I think it's going to be pretty cool. And I'm really excited about tomorrow. I really am. I'm excited for our, you know, listeners to come in, the watch party, Manny's catering the event. And then, you know, Wednesday we get to be the post game again. So you know, live sports during the Mully and Haw show, very unusual, and I'm looking forward to it.
I gotta tell you, the stuff that is out there, the Cubs are a very popular team. Everybody loves the Cubs. They've got a couple of Japanese stars. It's great that they're included in this, but my God, the Ohtani stuff is extraordinary. I mean, this is... Even he went on Instagram and was showing the dinner that they have for there was a tuna the size of Vermont that they were fixing up for the players. It's just extraordinary stuff. Even he was impressed by one of the meals they were at that he had arranged. And I think I'm concerned that this is all about Shohei Ohtani, that this is nothing but this giant showcase for him. I mean, Dustin, it made me wonder, should you just walk the guy? Should this be one of these series where your old philosophy of just put him on base, let him get on base?
I totally agree with you, if I can jump in really quick. But yeah, I think it's probably like been talked about behind closed doors.
That would cause an international incident.
You are not allowed to do that.
If you're Craig Counsell.
You want to win? Are you here to win baseball games or here to promote the game? Which one?
Yeah, you go... You become
low and away.
Like this, and he doesn't
low
get,
and away.
He doesn't even get a pitch. No, because he's a unicorn.
Don't even
he can
throw
reach.
It. Yeah, uh-uh. Nope. Yeah, I'm with you.
He struck out yesterday.
He homered
point,
as well.
Point
he
to bleeds. First base. He's gonna bleed you, buddy. I'm telling you. I think that if it is,
especially if there's somebody on base,
is it Counsell Arch?
No,
is that what it is?
That's not even good. Craig Arch.
Craig Arch.
Crouch.
Crouch.
No, it's March. That's why you pitch to him. This is fun.
They count the same, David.
I know, but
I hate that attitude. It's March. It's April. Okay. Let me know when the games don't.
I'll remind you that when they start 2-10.
You won't have to remind me.
Let the guy on base. Send him to first.
It's a scary good question, right?
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He's here at 7:44. How surprised were you that the White Sox named Sean Burke their opening day starter and that Joey Gallo was given his release?
He's going to be a pitcher now. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He's coming back as a pitcher. That's it.
That's crazy.
You're going to release me? I refuse to hit another homer, but I will strike you out. I thought it was interesting that they released him because we know they're going to be a team that doesn't have a lot of power, but that's good. You need more younger guys. I'm not sure you need him. I'm not sure he can help you. I don't know that he's going to hit enough homers to overcome the amount of strikeouts he'll have. So, there's not a lot of protection for him. Not a lot of reason to have signed him to begin with, frankly. So, okay, I got no problem with that. The Sean Burke thing blows my mind just because no one up to this point has suggested that he would actually be the opening day starter. I've heard a lot of names thrown around, and I think we thought it was going to be Jonathan Cannon, and then there was this conversation about whether or not it needed to be Martin Perez, and then it was, well, what about, Davis Martin? I've heard a lot of names. I haven't heard him. And I saw when they brought him in, they told him, you deserved it. You've been our best pitcher. So it's kind of interesting to see them settle on him, and he's going to be the opening day starter. It reinforces the idea that, number one, they don't have a complete pitching staff. Number two, they will eventually get a pitching staff, but it will take several years. And number three, they could be worse than they were a year ago, whether anyone wants to believe that or not. I'm not hoping for that. I'm hoping that they figure this out and that they do a good job with their pitching staff. But, man, this is picking a name out of a hat. No offense to anyone. I'm not saying that he's not going to do well or he doesn't have a shot or anything like that. But this is hardly according to Hoyle. This is not going with the plan or usually the way things are done.
Plus, the Sox are opening at home. It's a home opener.
Mike Trout.
So, maybe. It might be snowing. He won't want to get his hamstring hurt. But if he really did earn it, then I really appreciate that because it should be an open competition. And the best man, in this case, should win. And if he is that, according to them, then I think that's a good thing. I think that sends a really good message that it was a competition and what they did in spring training matter. Plus, I mean, looking at his stats from when he got called up, pretty good. Played against some pretty good teams.
Okay.
So, okay, he's one of their guys.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't a rental. Like, again, and as you guys pointed out in the first segment, like, the better players are playing in the minors, right? The sexier names.
Third-round draft pick from 2021. This is a homegrown talent being rewarded for having an outstanding spring. Let's hope this is the last time the White Sox will make history this season. Because, or the good type. This is a four career outings, 19 innings pitched. It's the fewest for an opening day starter in White Sox history. And more than that, he'll be the sixth opening day starter in the last 70 years who has made three or fewer starts. That's not a lot of experience. Three starts this spring, he had a 4.15 ERA. He was better than the rest. He was rewarded for that. Jonathan Cannon has been bad. His ERA is around 10. We thought it would be him, but it wasn't him. Martin Perez probably didn't want to give the new guy. Doesn't really need that. As for Davis Martin, he made a nice pitch. I thought it would be him. He told AJ Pierzynski that he wanted to do that, but Sean Burkett is. So Sean Burkett will be March 27th against the Angels from Anaheim, the Los Angeles Angels, with Mike Trout. I hope he does well because the Sox need somebody to emerge. And remember last year at this time, much different circumstance, but we were also surprised by their opening day starter. And Garrett Crochet took the world by storm. Not that that's going to happen again, but it is the second year in a row where we're like, they're starting who? Okay, Sean Burke.
But isn't it a little different?
It's a lot different.
Because we had heard of him.
Yeah, Crochet had some good moments.
Yeah.
Sean Burke, can you guarantee me that Sean Burke will be on the White Sox by the All-Star break?
Well, this is the problem.
And what is the statistic where has the opening day starter ever been sent to the minors in the same season? Don't know. Hope we don't have to find out.
I've asked this question, a lot, obviously.
Connor Bedard received his second straight 10-minute misconduct penalty Saturday night against the Canucks.
Frankel's in the mix of that as well. Frankie Nazar goes in to help his teammates out. This might be a little bit of the response on the hit on Hedl.
See if we get anything out of this with 2.5 to go in the hockey game. Horolik and Bedard still talking to each other.
What is going on here?
I think somebody from the Blackhawks has got to defend Connor Bedard. Publicly, privately, on the ice, off the ice. I think he's getting picked on and targeted. I think you look at the ridiculous 10-minute penalty he received in the final 9 minutes of the game the other night, Thursday night. We talked about that. Cost them a chance to win that game with their best player in the penalty box. What did he say? What could he have said? There wasn't a slur. We would have heard about it. If it was something that really crossed the line, then what did he do yesterday? Or Saturday night. What was that all about, Saturday night in Vancouver? It wasn't egregious. It didn't cross the line. This is hockey. This is the most uncivilized of civilized sports. What could he have done that was that so bad? And I don't understand why the Hawks don't sound more agitated or irritated or offended by all this. They should. He is the franchise. He still can be the franchise. Nobody's going to sit here and fool you into thinking this has been a good season for Connor Bedard. It's been a struggle. But it doesn't mean that he has to continue on this trajectory. And I think he needs some help getting pulled out of it. Defend your guy loudly, Hawks personnel, players, coaches, executives, whoever. Defend your guy. He's getting picked on and needs your help.
I'd like to hear Kyle Davidson have a message to the fans about what they're doing, like contacting the office of the NHL, things like that, contacting Gary Bettman. I did like to see in the video that I saw on this him whipping his helmet in disgust as he walked to the dressing room. So we'll have to keep an eye on this. And David, I could have looked it up. I didn't. So he got a 10-minute penalty, but there wasn't 10 minutes left in the game. So is there a carryover effect?
I don't
believe
so.
So when they're at home against the Kraken on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
So he doesn't have to like miss the first
I don't believe
X
so.
Number of minutes? There's no carryover. All right.
Okay, so I haven't seen enough of this one. But the first one was a joke. The guy is coming down. He made a really nifty pass. He gets a stick shoved under his skate, and he goes down. That's like the definition of tripping. And he turns around, and he looks at the official, and he says, "Tripping, tripping." And that's what he says. And then he goes over to the bench, and he turns, and he said, "Hey, how about a tripping call?" Because he felt he was tripped, mainly because he was tripped. And then the official goes over and gets in his face, and he says, "Okay, guy, okay, yeah." And that's it. Keeps his head down. Then they give him a 10-minute misconduct because he didn't show the guy enough respect. This is what's happened with Connor Bedard, whether anyone wants to believe it or not. What's happened is earlier in the year, all of the NHL announcers kind of decided this kid's not doing enough. He's not playing well enough. Let's go after him. And they took turns. And they went after him, and they said nasty stuff about him, including Mark Messier, who I didn't know was going to fall into that.
He kind of started it.
But his was the one that carried some weight.
Yeah, I know.
Now, you got officials. Do you notice that kid is complaining about every call? Well, we're gonna stop that. So they give him the misconduct for no reason, and then he complains about another call. So they hit him with another one. They're going to teach him as officials not to show us up on the ice. Someone get Gary Bettman on the line.
Yes.
Somebody, and if I am his coach, his manager, I am getting thrown out of the game with him.
I am doing the same thing. I'm getting fined.
What are you doing sitting back and watching this?
It's just like in football. If you have a head coach whose quarterback is getting pummeled,
yes,
and you're doing nothing,
yes,
you're saying nothing, you can't do that. Silence is not the response you want in a situation like this because of what you just described well. The refs are essentially following everybody else's lead,
yes,
showing him no respect.
None. Do something about it, or you're going to wind up with an injured player. Give me a break.
Give me a break.
All right.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.